Luke's Gospel, chapter number 9. All right. I'm going to read, I'll start down in verse number 57. I'm going to be talking about discipleship tonight. You know, a disciple is one who follows a teacher, and one who commits to their teaching, one who's faithful to the teachings of a certain person, and it includes obedience, it includes total surrender to one that's teaching. And when Christ chose His disciples, Christ knew that in a short time He'd be going to Calvary, that He'd lay down His life there and He would ascend back to the Father. He needed disciples to carry the gospel throughout the world. And that same commitment that His disciples made still applies to you and I today. The church needs disciples, needs workers. It needs people that are totally sold out to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to give you that thought here as I read these verses right here. There's three men that has confronted Christ, or Christ confronts them right here. And it has to do with discipleship and the cost of being a disciple. So, and before I read these verses, I want to say this too. There's three essential things, I believe, in being a disciple. You need the power of God on your life. You need the power to deny self. Because right here is the biggest problem that I've got is self. And I need the power of God, the filling of the Spirit of God, to deny myself and to discipline myself. And, you know, we are self-disciplined in a way. And if you don't watch out, you'll be led by the flesh instead of the Spirit. And so it has to do with self-discipline. Power, three essentials: power, love, and devotion. Love is a key essential in the life of a Christian. It was in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son into the world to give His life, because He loved us so much. And one key to being a true disciple is love. Love of the Lord. We love Him because He first loved us. When we realize what He's done for us, we ought to love Him. And it ought to be an eternal love, as He eternally loved us. How could we not love somebody that took our place in death and hell and gave us a chance at life? We ought to love lost sinners. Amen? I mean, I'm glad that somebody loved me when I was lost. And I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ loved me when I was lost. When I was an enemy, He loved me. Talking about three essentials to being a disciple. And then devotion. Devotion. We need our priorities in the right place. We get devoted to a lot of different things, but it's the Lord first in your life. And I'm talking to probably the backbone of the church right here, most everybody in here. Now, He requires devotion. He desires devotion. And our commitment in life, He should be first. He's the one that made me to rise up this morning. He gave me life and breath today. He puts a roof over my head, shoes on my feet, food on my table. I mean, why wouldn't I be devoted to Him? I don't have to go to hell because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. Why wouldn't I be devoted? Why wouldn't I feel like I'm a debtor to the grace of God tonight? I realize where I was at when He came to me, and when he drew me with cords of love, saved me, saved my soul. When I was His enemy, I didn't love Him, but He loved me. And I feel like I'm a debtor to the grace of God tonight. And that's kept me going a lot through the years. And so three essentials, I believe: the power of God in our lives, the love, and the devotion to Him. Now let's read this about these three men right here. Why? Well, before I do that, let me read this other verse for you. Why do we need to be disciples? Notice what it says in chapter 10 and verse 2. Therefore said He unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. I'm glad that way back yonder in 1974, there were some people interested in the harvest when I was lost. And I made my way into a little old Baptist church down yonder on the side of Blackjack Mountain. There was people there that lifted up the Lord Jesus Christ and showed me that their God was real and that I needed Him. And they prayed for me, and a preacher got up and he preached the gospel. I was part of the harvest. And there was somebody interested in lost souls. And I'm glad they were. And if we don't get a burden for lost people, then our life really is, in a sense, is useless. Amen? That's why Christ wanted some disciples to take up the cross and follow Him. To go out and preach the gospel. Jesus saves to a lost and dying world. And down through the ages, there's been people to live their lives carrying the cross from the day they're saved to the day they leave out of this old world. There's been people to do that down through the ages. And it's our duty as saved people to be a disciple, a true disciple, putting God first and having the love of God in our lives. Now, let's read right here, picking up back in verse number 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for giving us this day of life. God, for letting us gather together, Lord, in the house of God tonight, Lord, and look into Your Word, Lord. God, we pray, O Lord, for Your anointing. God, we pray for Your blessings tonight, God, upon the hearers. God, help us, Lord, not to be hearers only, but doers of the Word of God. And Lord, we'll give You all glory, and we're so thankful to You for what You've done for us in our life, Lord. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to look at these three characters right here. I want to look at the way of and pathway of discipleship. And I want to look at the preaching of the truth in discipleship. And thirdly, I want to look at the life of plowing in discipleship and get a few thoughts from these characters right here, these three men that came to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice that all three men addressed Him as Lord. They recognized Him as who He was. And they were all three willing to make a commitment. But they weren't willing to totally sell out. Notice right here in this first character right here, the way and path of discipleship in verses 57 and 58. This first man is a there's a way of the cross. When Christ said to him, it came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Can I say to you tonight that if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, there's a way. And that way is the way of the cross. And what am I talking about? Just in the previous, earlier part of this chapter right here, Jesus made a statement right here in verse 23. He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And what? take up his cross and follow me. Can I tell you something tonight? If you are saved, if you're a born-again child of God, you've got a cross to bear. Jesus has a purpose and a plan for your life. And it's not worldly achievements, it's spiritual achievements. Our cross is so important in our Christian life. We need to know what our purpose is in life. According to what Christ has got us to do in His kingdom's work here on earth. We do have a purpose. We are the light of the world. And we never know what little effort we put forth in our Christian walk and letting our light so shine to a lost and dying world, what God can do with that little bit of light if we let it shine. A lot of folks will think, well, I can't do nothing. I'm not talented. I can't teach. I can't sing. Well, you can do something. Amen. Nobody is exempt from service. Amen. And so, there's a way of the cross. And I'm glad, I thank God, that there was a day I'd been saved a couple of years, and I'd kind of just been sitting back in church, being an observer, a bench warmer, I guess you might say. But I got to realizing, you know, that what the Lord had done for me, and I seen people doing different things in the church and serving the Lord, and I really wanted to do something. And I didn't feel like I had anything, you know, really that I could do. But you know what I did? I asked the Lord to use me. And I didn't say what I wanted to be used for, but I just asked Him to use me. And amazing little thing happened that day. I've been in church for a couple of years. An amazing thing happened after I prayed that little silent prayer within my heart that morning. You know what the preacher did? He called on me to pray. And lo and behold, the Holy Ghost said, I used you. And I realized, you know, if you'll make yourself available, God's got something for you to do. He's looking for people, not with ability, but availability. And we can all be a good disciple if we'll just present ourselves a living sacrifice unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The way of a cross. But then there's a way of commitment in this pathway of discipleship. Verse number 51, look at this right here. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Christ was committed to the cross. He came into this world not wondering what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. He knew there was a cross awaiting him, and he was committed to that cross. The Bible says that he set his face to go to Jerusalem, knowing that he would be mocked, he would be ridiculed, he would be beaten to where he wouldn't even be recognizable as a man. But he was willing to go there. He was committed to his cross. And shouldn't we be committed, so much more committed for what the Lord Jesus has done for us in our life? A commitment. Commitment. Lord, we're willing to make a commitment if we get to lay out the circumstances, ain't we? But what if, you know, Christ is just, He's looking for people that will say, Lord, here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. And when we get that committed, there'll be a fellowship and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that we've never experienced before. You hear me? That's the kind of commitment we need in this pathway of discipleship. A commitment. And notice this now. Not only the way of a cross, the way of commitment, but the way and its cost. This, if you do a parallel look over in Matthew's gospel, this first man was a scribe. This man was a successful man. He was probably wealthy. He probably lived in a fine house. You can look back over in 2 Kings and you'll find that the scribe was a man that run with the high priest at the house of the Lord. And they gathered up the money, and they counted the money, and he had a high position. And I think this day when he said, Lord, you know, when he made this statement, I'll follow you whithersoever thou goest. I think he saw an opportunity to gain more. I think he saw a great gathering around the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw a movement maybe. And he thought, well, I'll get in on this and this thing's going to turn into something big, and I'll be gaining more. But you know what Jesus told him? Look at that next verse. Jesus knows our heart. Jesus knows our heart. And he knew this man's heart. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And what happens right here? This man copped out. I mean, he dropped out. He's not mentioned anymore right here. When he found out there wasn't any monetary gain in the ministry there, he decided, well, this ain't for me. This ain't for me. If we're in the ministry just for the money and just for the pats on the back and just for the prestige, we're in it for the wrong thing. Jesus suffered. Jesus made this statement right here. I don't have a house. I don't have a place to lay my head. But he was King of kings and Lord of lords, the Lord of glory. The earth is his and the fullness thereof. But this man was motivated by the wrong things. His commitment was shallow. His commitment was worthless. When he saw that he wasn't going to get any gain out of it, he just dropped out. And let's look at this second man. This second man, in verse 59 and 60, the preaching of the truth, the second man. Verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said unto the Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Preaching is important. Preaching is important. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you know, when a preacher gets filled with the Holy Ghost and gets in this Bible right here and preaches truth out of it, it has a tremendous effect on the hearers of the Word of God. It's a powerful thing. When a man is anointed, has the anointing of God on him, and he's preaching the Word of God, oh, it goes out in a great power. And Jesus, right here, it's amazing what he said. This man, he had a calling. Notice his experience right here. There was a call to follow. And I found out something about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's never sent me anywhere or asked me to do anything that he wouldn't lead me. Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. He wants us today as disciples to follow Him. Follow His teaching. Follow His preaching. Follow His church and be a part of the great kingdom's work here on earth. God is looking for some faithful disciples. His experience. He had a call to follow. You remember Matthew and Andrew, when they were casting nets, they were fishermen. Jesus passed by. Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. And they laid down their nets and they began to follow Christ. They didn't know where they were going, but something captivated them. And they wanted to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, I'm telling you, we spend our lives chasing after so many things when we ought to be following Christ. He'll supply all our needs according to His riches and glory. I can testify to that tonight. I mean, he's done abundantly and above for me. And I want to be a faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to finish right. I want to finish my course right. And I want to be found faithful. If He comes back tonight, I want to be found faithful at the Lord's appearing. I want to be found faithful when I have to stand before Him and give an account of how I served Him in this life. And the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But I'm going to stand before Him one day. And you're going to stand before Him one day. Fearful thought, isn't it? But we are. His experience, he had a call to follow, but his excuse. He said, but first, let me go and bury my father. It was a dead excuse. Any excuse we make in putting God second in our life, putting the ministry second in our life, or service second in our life, is a dead excuse. God demands first place in our life. And that's where I want to keep Him first in my heart and in my life. And it's a battle. You know, I'm looking at people. And I'm looking out at a world that's got so many things that's pulling you this way and that away and things. It's a battle to keep God first and foremost in our mind and in our lives each day. But I can tell you, we can make all kind of excuses, but they ain't going to hold up. They ain't going to hold up. I know some people get sick and can't come to church. Some people get sick of church. It must be tonight. But excuses won't work. The Lord, I mean, what if, of course, old Peter and them, he tried to turn back one time. He stood up and said, I'm going fishing. But he run into the Lord out there, didn't he? And he found out it wasn't working out too good trying to go backwards instead of forward. So God wants us to put Him first. His experience, it was a call to follow. His excuse, He said, but first, let me go do this. I'll put you second, Lord, and I'll do this first. That didn't work out too good. His exhortation, no excuses in verse 60. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Now, He's talking about the man's daddy. Let the dead bury the dead. You can't do nothing for a dead man. Amen. You can't do nothing for a dead man. But those that are alive and needs Jesus, you can do something for them. That's what Christ was telling this man. You got to get your priorities in order. We got to get our burden in the right place. He said, let the dead bury the dead. He said, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. What a great opportunity this man had. When the Lord challenged him to, you know, let the dead bury the dead, but you go to the living and preach the kingdom of God, he drops off the pages of the Bible right here. He couldn't handle it. He was not willing to put discipleship first. So Christ moves on. Dangerous thing to say no to the Lord. Amen? You know something? Most of the time I'm sitting right over there on that bench. If I want to tell the Lord no, if I want to tell Him I can't, if I want to tell Him I won't or I ain't, He can have somebody sitting over there in that pew before next Sunday. Amen. He got somebody to take my place in a heartbeat. If He calls me to do something, I better be attentive to what He asked me to do. If He nudges my heart to serve in some particular fashion or way, I better listen. I better be obedient. He's the boss. His exhortation here, there was no excuses. Life's going to have a lot of difficulties. Life's got a lot of distractions. But our excuses will not hold up. Christ demands total devotion. He has to be first in a disciple, a true disciple's life. If we name the name of Christ, then we ought to live it. Amen? All right. The way and path of discipleship, the first man, he dropped out. The preaching of the truth here, the second man, he disappears. But then the life of plowing, verse 61 and 62. Something interesting in these verses. He said, another said, also said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my home and at my house. Jesus makes a statement right here. He says, Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Strong statement, isn't it? Notice this, his proposal right here. This man's proposal to the Lord. He said, I will follow thee, but first let me go and bid them farewell which are at my home and at my house. He had a proposal. He said, I'll do it, but I got to put something else first. I can't do it, but I will do it if you'll let me just go home and bid farewell to my family. But Jesus had some things to say. See, this man had a problem. A lot of folks got problems with putting God first. Well, let me make y'all mad. Well, preacher, we just can't make it on Wednesday night. My little boy got a T-ball game. We just can't get to church, preacher. I'm sorry. Preacher, we can't come tonight. My little girl's got cheerleading practice. My little girl's got dance class. They have it on Wednesday night. Ain't nothing I can do about it, preacher. We got to go. She wants to go. Boy, y'all quiet. Excuses. I'll do it, Lord, but let me go down to the house and tell everybody bye. Putting family ahead of God. What's your excuse? What kind of excuse can we make? We're good at it. If we get our heart right. But notice what Jesus has to say. His proposal, I'll go, but first. His problem was his family. He wasn't willing to put God first and be a true disciple. His proposal, his problem, but notice the plowing. Interesting thing that the Lord put in this passage of Scripture. He said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You'll notice right here that Jesus didn't disqualify the one that looked back, but he said he's not fit. Not fit for it. He didn't say, get on out of here, I'm through with you. He said he's not fit for the kingdom of God. Anybody in here ever plowed a mule? Brother Doyle, me, Brother Dalton, you sure are young to be plowing a mule. I plowed one a couple of times. When I was in about sixth grade, I had a buddy lived down here toward Dot, and I'd go down there. His mom and daddy would go off to work. But in the evenings, his daddy would come plow down in the bottoms, big garden they had. And he'd take us boys, and he'd want us to plow, teach us how to plow a mule. One thing you learn plowing a mule, you don't plow like this. You keep your focus going forward, don't you? If not, you're going to get out of line. You're going to run over some other rows. Having put his hand to the plow. Talking about serving the Lord Jesus Christ, the plow of the gospel. Carrying the gospel. Doing the work of God. Looking back, Jesus said, looking back, you're going to get in a mess. You'll make a mess out of it. And you're not fit for the kingdom of God. And I got to thinking about that. I guess a long time ago, I thought, well, anybody, looking back, anybody that turns back, God's through with them. He ain't fit for the kingdom of God. That's not what he's talking about right here. I'm glad. And everybody's guilty, I think, of looking back. Everybody's guilty of losing their focus on what they ought to be doing. Carrying, plowing through this old world, carrying the gospel, being in the center of God's will. But you can lose your focus in a hurry. You can look back and you can get, thank God, you can get refit. Amen? That's what Jesus is trying to point out right here. Any man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And when we get in that kind of condition and we feel worthless, we feel like we've become a total failure. You ever done that? You ever felt like you're just a total failure of what God had wanted you to do because you got out of line? Everybody gets out of line, I believe, at one time or another. And at that particular time, really, you're no good for nothing. Well, Christ was saying, you know, you get to looking back and dabbling in this and that and get out of line. You ain't doing any good. You need to be refit. Is that a word? Refit? You can get renewed. You can get forgiveness. Thank God for that. I thank God there is a throne of grace that we can approach boldly. The Bible says we can obtain mercy there. Boy, we need mercy, don't we? I do. I don't know about y'all, but I need mercy every day. I fall, I fail, I stumble, but I thank God if I fall on my face before Him, I can get refit. I can get renewed. I can get revived. Thank God we've got a loving God that loves us that much. He knows that we are but dust. He knows we're going to stumble. He knows we're going to fall. He knows we're going to fail. But He loves us so much. He stands with open arms, willing to forgive, willing to get us refit, get us plowing back in a straight line. Amen? Amen. Thank God for that. You see, this man, Christ mentions having put his hand to the plow. That's a commitment. Committed to plow straight row. But he looks back and he gets out of line. And, you know, we need to look forward. Ain't no need to look back. I can't do nothing about my mistakes of yesterday. But if Christ has forgiven me, I can look forward. And I can go forward and I can move in the right direction. I can be fruitful. And so, you remember the story of Lot? How that the angel of the Lord was sent into Lot. Into Sodom to get Lot and his family out. And one of the commands, when they came out of Sodom, one of the commands was, don't look back. Don't look back. And Lot's wife made the mistake of looking back. She was turned into a pillar of salt. Useless. And so as a caution right there, we're not to focus on our past. But tomorrow's a new day. And let's do what we can for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we ain't fit right now, let's get refit and do what we can for the Lord. Now, Paul had this to say in closing right here. I'll read you this right here in Philippians 3 and 13. Paul said, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had a terrible past. He said, I can't focus on that. I'm a child of God now. But I can look forward and I can press on through the hardships and difficulties of life and serving. Paul was a man that suffered many things. And, you know, just because we're living for God and doing everything we can and right in the center of God's will doesn't mean there are not going to be troubles and difficulties come our way. You get in the will of God and start serving God, the devil, he'll set his sights on you. He wants to knock you out. And he's going to do everything he can. We need true disciples in our day. It's a dark day in which we live. And so, the darker it is, the brighter a little light shines in it. Amen. All right. That's what I have tonight. Stand with us.